I'm titled my message this evening, Midnight Preaching, or Midnight Meeting. Long preaching. I get nervous when I go over 40 minutes. And would you like to hear if I start during the day and not get through to midnight and then take a break at midnight and take up it again and go till after daybreak? Well, that's what happened here. Paul was a man who was mightily used of God, and everywhere he went, I've told you, he either caused a riot or revival, and a lot of times he caused both. Wherever he went, he stirred people up. He was hated and despised because of men being turned from idols and because of the Jews who he preached that the Messiah, that the Jews took him and crucified. And the word one you crucified is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it starts out here in verse 1, and after the uproar was ceased. You remember this awful uproar that they had about Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians? After everything calmed down, all the crowd was dispersed. I don't know how long after this was done, but anyway, Paul called unto him the disciples. He didn't call the world, he called God's people together, just like we're gathered here together this evening. And here's a man who loved God's people, and he embraced them. He loved them and he embraced them. And I'm sure he hugged them and gave them all a holy kiss because he's fixing to leave. And he embraced them and loved them and cared for them. And he departed for to go into Macedonia. You know, he wasn't leaving because he was afraid. Or he wouldn't have took the time to call the disciples together. He wouldn't have took the time to embrace these disciples and show his love for these disciples and them for leaving him. He had been in Ephesus for over 2 years, longest he had ever been anywhere. He had been there a long time. And so he was getting ready to depart. So he'd called all the brethren together and embraced them and loved them and left, not because he was afraid that he's going to get hurt. Because it's time to go. And when he had gone over those parts into Macedonia, in the church there, and had given them exhortation. That means he preached wherever he went. He just kept. He started just like one of his books, I think. I think he'd greet them. Then I think he'd give thanks for them. And then I think he would set forth the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory and his power and his majesty, of his electing grace, of his saving grace, of his eternal grace, that God in Christ chose us, that God in Christ gave us power to believe, and he'd begin to preach Christ to them and all the blessings that's in Christ, and then he would go from there, and then he'd start applying what it is to be a believer, what it is to live to the glory of God, what it is to be a husband, what it is to be a wife, what it is to be children in the Lord, what it is to train you, all the things that he'd done in the book, I believe through much exhortation is what he'd done here. I believe it just like reading one of his books when he'd go and give them much exhortation. And look what happens here in verse 3. And there he abode there for 3 months when he came into Greece. Stayed in Greece for 3 months. That's where Corinth is at. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he was going to take a boat and go to Syria. Found out the Jews were laying in wait for him. That laying in wait for him is, they're going to kill this man. They have every intention of destroying this man. They despise this man. They hate this man. And how many times do we find out when we read in the Scriptures that they being moved for envy, being moved for hatred? Ain't that what it said over here in verse 9 of chapter 19? But when divers were hardened and believed not and spake evil of that way before the multitude. So these Jews were laying in wait for him. They said, they're going to go to Syria. We're going to lay in wait for him and we'll beat him, we'll kill him, we'll be done with him. And we'll see later that 40 men took a vow on them. We're not going to eat, we're not going to do anything until that man's dead. That's how much they hated him. And also, instead of going through Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, just the way he came. And then he had this great company with him in verse 4. You know, that's one thing about brethren. Lots of brethren company with him. And that's one thing that's wonderful, having brethren to accompany when you go someplace. And they had a whole bunch of people traveling with him. They could converse with him and they communed together, talked together and enjoyed one another's company, prayed for one another. And I enjoyed that. And so they get down to Troas. And down in verse 6, they came to Troas. And it says, after the days of unleavened bread. That's the Passover. Days of unleavened bread, the days of Passover. That's the Jewish Passover. I don't think Paul partook of the Passover. I don't think he celebrated these days of unleavened bread. I don't think he did, because you know he is the one who said Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And we have the unleavened bread of sincerity. That's our unleavened bread. Christ is our Passover. And our unleavened bread is our honesty before God. The unleavened bread do we have. God done purged out our sin. So we're naked and open before God. And so after the days of unleavened bread, they came to Troas. And they were just there 7 days. 7 days. Now what happened in these 7 days? 7 days. A lot can happen in 7 days. And several things happened here in several days. First of all, they had a preacher. They had a meeting. And it says there in verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Paul preached unto them. They came together just like a meeting we're having right now. And Paul preached unto them. He didn't share the gospel. He didn't share the love of God. He didn't say, now we're going to talk about abortion tonight. He didn't say we're going to talk about who we ought to vote for. He didn't talk about any of that. He didn't talk about any of the social issues of the day, the moral issues of the day. He didn't tell them. He said, I'm going to tell you folks how to be the best parent that you can possibly be, to be the best wives you can be, to be the best husbands you can be. He preached unto them. He declared that the gospel's a declaration. We're not here to share things. We share food, we share candy, we share our homes, but you don't share the gospel, you declare the gospel. And that's what he done. He got to, Paul preached unto them. People say, I don't like preaching, I don't want to be preached unto. But he preached unto them. Oh, and then he is ready to depart on the morrow. He's only there for 7 days. But oh, what a time it was for 7 days. How would you like to have Paul for a meeting for 7 days? We love to have Brother Henry. We love to have Todd. We love to have Bruce Crabtree. We love to have Don. We love to have men come in here and preach. We only have them for 3 or 4 services. And we just rejoice over that. We just have a wonderful time over that. But have Paul come and preach for a week. To have him stand and preach to you for 7 days. Huh? And oh, he was a, here's a man that, you know, instant in season, out of season, here's a man who preached every time he hit his feet. Every time he got several people together, he went to preaching. He didn't have to wait to get an outline together. He didn't have to wait to write it all down. He was full of the Scriptures, and he preached. He preached. His soul was on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at what time it was when they had this meeting. It says in verse 7, upon the first day of the week, disciples came together to break bread. The first day of the week, beloved, is the Lord's Day. You find it mentioned often throughout the New Testament, the Lord's Day. And some people call it the Christian Sabbath. Christians don't have a Sabbath. The only Sabbath we have is Christ, our rest. Christ is our Sabbath. Christ is our rest. God gave the Sabbath for men to rest. Christ is our rest. Christ ended everything for us. All the law. And the first day of the week, that's the Lord's Day. And first of all, they met this time after our Lord's resurrection, because He raised from the dead on Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. The Lord's Day. That was the first day of the week for the Jews. And so here our Lord was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. And after that, they met on the first day of the week. To commemorate and rejoice and memorialize and bless God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. John said over in Revelation 1, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This is called the Lord's Day. Every day is the Lord's Day, but this is a day we've set aside to honor Him, to bless Him, to worship Him, to praise Him. And when somebody says to you, what do you all think about the Sabbath? Say, I think Christ is my Sabbath. I think Christ is my rest. And then there was not only that, but they gathered together to break bread. That means they took the Lord's Supper. They didn't gather in the church like they are here and everybody start eating. That's not what happened. When they talk about breaking bread, they're talking about partaking of the Lord's table. They're talking about remembering the death, the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're talking about when this breaking of bread, they're talking about memorializing and rejoicing and celebrating the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it accomplished and what it meant. And oh, they met on the first day of the week. The first day of the week. To worship. To worship. And you know, I've said this before. You know, most people think they ain't worshiped unless they feel something. Unless they feel something. But beloved, whether you feel like you worship, you know, we worship means that you give all the homage to, all the adoration to. And we give, you know, we worship God not only here, but we gather together whether we feel it or not to give God the proper place. To honor Him and His Holy Son, His Word. And whether you feel like you worship or not, but we're going to worship. We're going to call on His name. We're going to look to Him. We're going to bless Him. We're going to praise Him. We're going to call on Him. We're going to acknowledge Him. And we're going to sing songs that honor and bless His holy name. We're going to pray, and these folks pray. And somebody, every time we meet, is going to preach. They're going to preach. Not going to talk about things. We're going to preach. Going to preach. Somebody's going to be here to preach. And that's what they did. They gathered to preach. And oh, you think about coming together to hear the Word of God. I downloaded a message yesterday from this fella that I've read several things out of a book by him, and I wanted to hear him preach. And I got to looking at the list of his messages, and none of them's 30, 32 minutes long. You know why? Because I got thinking about it. He pastors this great, big, huge church. Thousands and thousands of people. And he can't get them to sit still no longer than 30, 35 minutes. That's all they're going to put up with. They got other fish to fry. But we come here to listen to the Word of God. We don't got any other fish to fry. If you got someplace else to be, you ought to go there and be there. If you didn't come here to hear this. And that's why we've come to preach. To take the Word of God and open it. And they gathered here to hear the Word of God coming through the Apostle Paul. This is the blessing. This is life. I told you last week that a young man got up. He's got seven kids. Seven kids. All those kids sitting around there. Every one of them had their own Bible. And he got up and he read scriptures that night and led in prayer. And he told all those children, there's 14 kids there. He said, I'm telling you. He said, now you all be sure and pay attention. You children pay attention. And you keep your Bibles open. Because this man's going to get up here in a little while. And what he's going to say is the words of life. The very words of life. So you pay attention. Oh my. Ain't that something? Tell the young people, sit up and pay attention now. This man's going to speak the words of life. Not words about life. They are life. If God blesses you. Huh? Oh, let's pray. Let's pray that God may keep us worshiping Him and meeting together with Him and honoring His blessed name and preaching on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, memorializing, honoring, and blessing His glorious death and what it accomplished. And then look where they met. Look at the place where they met in verse 8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber. So it was evidently pretty dark and they needed lots of light. Lots of light. I think they needed lots of light so they could follow along in the scriptures. I think they needed lots of light so because Paul had probably eye problems and he couldn't see them. And they were in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. You know, over in Acts chapter 1:13, I want you to look with me though in Luke 22, just a moment. You know, in Acts 1, it talks about that they met in the upper room. That's where they met. They were gathered in the upper room when the Holy Ghost descended upon them. But I want you to look here in Luke 22. There's something about these upper rooms, something about the upper chamber that God, where they gathered. They was met in an upper room when our Lord appeared to them after His resurrection. But it said here in Luke 22:10, and He said unto them, talking about going preparing the Passover that they may eat, the Last Supper that He had with His disciples. He said unto them, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water, and follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you, what's this? A large upper room furnished. There, make ready. The upper room. That Christ met with His disciples in an upper room. The disciples were gathered in an upper room when the Holy Ghost came upon them in the fire and fire and tongues. And here they are, they're gathered in an upper room. And many lights, many lights. And then look what happens now. It says down there in the last part of the verse, last part of verse 7, excuse me. And Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued preaching until midnight. Continued his speech until midnight. My, my. Anybody ready to stay? I do know we do this. You know, I preach and try to get done 35 minutes, 40 minutes if I can. And then you'll hang around here for 40 minutes. So why don't I just go ahead and preach 55 or 60 minutes, and then you'll just hang around 10 minutes. But Paul continued his speech until midnight. I mean, he didn't get in any hurry. And these folks weren't in any hurry. This was when men really loved to be with one another and enjoyed one another. And of course, this was when the church was being established. This was when Paul was exhorting these men and women. This was when God was so establishing the church, and people were so hungry, and they weren't bombarded by televisions and radios and automobiles and times and didn't have places to go like a lot of people do today. And that's why they would gladly sit and listen to a man preach till midnight. Where else are they going to go? Go home, go to bed? All they had was a lantern. All they had was an old rope bed with some shucks wrapped around something they lay down in or something like that. So that was the place to be, hearing a man preach. And down in verse 11 said here, and he even talked a long while, even till the break of day. They stopped and took a little bit of refreshment, ate a little bit, drank a little bit of water. And he got back up and started all over again. Oh my. From the attitude of a lot of people, you know, we don't believe in penance like Catholics do and Lutherans do and that. But you know, a lot of folks think that having to go hear a preacher is almost like doing penance. You know, I got to go, oh man, I've got to go to church again. Oh, I got to go hear that preacher again. But oh my, they want it made short as possible. And I know this too. I know this, that some people can talk 5 or 10 minutes and it seems like forever. Other men can preach for an hour, and it seems like it went by just like that. That's a mystery, ain't it? Some folks can talk just a little while, and you say, oh my. And another prayer fellow can get up and preach for 50 minutes, an hour, and 10 minutes. And he said, oh my goodness. And then you say, where'd that time go? Didn't seem like that time. This is the blessings of God. Everything depends on the man and the message, don't it? And then look what an interruption. They had an interruption during this meeting. In verse 9, and there said in a wind a certain young man named Eutychus, We have some Eutychus around here every once in a while. Not very often, but every once in a while there's a Eutychus around here. And there said in the window, a certain young man named Eutychus being fallen into a deep sleep. Deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep. I mean, he went into such a sleep that he was just unconscious and he fell down. He was three stories high. Three stories high. And when he got down there, and when they got to him, he was dead. He was dead and lifeless. Dead. Now that would just certainly stop. If there's going to ever anything going to talk, cause you to dismiss the church and go to the house, if somebody falls asleep, fall down, and drop dead. It's time to close the meeting. We got to go. Oh, God, how could you do this to us? We're here worshiping you and you kill a man? You destroy a man? You kill somebody right in our midst? Oh, my. People just go into a tizzy. But no. I don't know what all happened, but I know this, that Paul went down those three stories, went out of that upper chamber, and went down there and fell on that young man. And this happened two times in the Old Testament. This happened when Elijah stayed with a widow woman and her son died. And the only child she had, and she went in and lay on top of that child, put his eyes on his eyes, his lips on his lips, and he put his mouth on his mouth, and he got up off that boy and said, "Get up." And that boy got up. And another time, Elijah done the same thing. Elijah and Elisha both laid down on a young man, and they both was given life again. Both of them was raised from the dead again. And Paul went down and fell on him. Lay down on him. I believe that he fell on him. I believe when it says he fell on him, I don't mean he just fell over him. I believe that he fell on him, fell down upon him. Laid on him. That's what I believe happened here. That's what it means. And embracing him. Embraced him. Laid on a dead body and embraced a dead body. And said, "Trouble not yourselves. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't trouble yourselves." What's this for his life's end? His life's end. He just looks dead. I say, he's alive now. Oh my. Wouldn't it be something to sit around somebody die at a service? Well, I know one thing. I ain't going to raise nobody. The days of the apostles are gone. I'm not going to raise anybody from the dead. These men had special gifts. So blessed of God. And there's no apostles today. There's no one with these gifts today. If those gifts were available today, there's not a human being that when they found out that somebody they loved was dead and they knew where there was somebody at that could raise them from the dead, they would have them there and give everything they owned to get them up out of that grave, get them up off that dead. And just give them one more opportunity. But here's Eutychus laying there dead. Paul fell on him, embraced him. I don't know what he said. I don't know whether he prayed. I don't know. Don't tell us that. But he did get up and look at the folks and says, "Quit worrying about this. Don't trouble yourselves about this young man. His life's in him." And when he therefore was come up again, broken bread and eaten and taken, talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And you know, beloved, if there's so many dead among us. So many dead among us. He ended up sleeping the sleep of death. And David prayed and said, "Oh Lord, let me sleep not the sleep of death." And he fell asleep and his sleep caused him to die. And there was somebody there could give him life. And there's some among us dead, sleep. Sleeping the sleep of death. I can't wake you up. I can't fall on you and embrace you and give you life. And tell those around us not to trouble yourselves about him. I'm troubled about you. I am troubled about you that don't have life. I'm troubled about you who don't know Christ. I'm troubled about you that are asleep. trouble about you that are dead. And I can't fall on you and give you life. Only Christ can give you life. Only God can give you life. Only God can raise you up. Only God's the only one who can say, trouble not yourselves. Only God can do that. And look what happens now. And he preached till the break of day, and he departed. And oh, look here. And this is so comforting. And they brought the young man alive. Brought him back alive. Brought him alive. When they got back up there and they sat down to eat and again going to go on till the break of day till they depart, they brought the young man back up with him. And he is alive. I believe he sat there and ate with the apostle and ate with these dear brethren. And watch it says here, and oh, how they were comforted. How we would be comforted. How we would be comforted if God brings somebody up alive. Give life. Bring them up alive. And they could break bread with us. Next time we take the Lord's table, when we pass the bread, they say, I'm a believer, I won't take that. When we give them the wine, they say, I'm a believer, I want that wine. I want to celebrate. I want to magnify. I want to honor. I want to remember the Lord's death for me. And what comfort we'd get in that. What encouragement we'd get in that. If God raised somebody up alive. And the Lord has to do it. The Lord has to do it. Our Father, in the gracious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing us this time. Here on the Lord's Day, first day of the week, we've gathered here, Lord, to honor your holy name, to bless you, to praise you, to speak of you, to sing songs and hymns and praises unto your holy name. Thank you for the saints that's gathered out. People like these believers had gathered in this upper chamber centuries and centuries and centuries ago. For as long as there's been your people, they've met together. And they've gathered together around your word to hear preaching, to see young men and young women brought to life. And so, oh Father, we thank you that you're the life giver, the life sustainer, and the only one who can and must do it. So we look to you and ask you to do for hearts, to do for minds, what you did for Eutychus when he fell down dead. Bring him up alive. Bring him up alive. Bring our children up alive, our grandchildren up alive. And oh Lord, it'd be such comfort to our hearts, such joy to us. God bless these dear saints as they go their way. Be merciful, gracious, kind, and tender to those in trial and those in affliction. We bless you in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. Earth, it sounds. Music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.